All right, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to go to the end of the Sermon on the Mount and read four verses, starting in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7 and then going down through verse 27. I'll just tell you, the college that I went to didn't offer many what you would call fine arts program. And so I never got to study, you know, great poets and great artists and all that other stuff. But I am going to take a phrase, one phrase that I know that that Shakespeare wrote, and maybe if you were like me, art deprived, when you were going to school, you probably know this phrase as well. And that phrase is, to be or not to be, that is the question. How many of you ever heard that before? Okay, a lot of you, and some of you probably have had a lot more art than I did. But to be or not to be, that is the question. Now, I'm going to change it around a little bit, and you'll see why when we read these verses of Scripture. I'm going to ask the question tonight, to do or not to do, that is the question. To do or not to do, that is the question. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, familiar passage of Scripture. We've read it many times. We've sing a song about it. But here's what Jesus said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And again, a familiar passage of Scripture. I mean, you without me reading the verses, you could probably tell me what the storyline is. I mean, the storyline is Jesus comparing two men, a wise man and a foolish man. Foolish man built his house upon a rock. It had a good foundation. And so when the storms came, it stood. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the storms came, it did not have a foundation, and it fell. So we all know the story, Phyllis, it fell down flat. Sometimes we even though we know the story and we can tell it, and the truth seems obvious, you got to build your house upon a rock. Sometimes we miss the teaching, and the teaching of those four verses is you got to go back to the first sentence. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," Jesus said, "You've heard what I said. Now the question is, are you going to do it or not?" Are you going to do it or not? And he tells the story of the wise man and the foolish man to paint the contrast. But the question that Jesus is asking is, once you hear what I've said, once you hear what I've taught, once you've heard what I've preached, once you understand the principles that I want you to order your life by, are you going to do it or not? And of course, the Bible teaches us over and over again that we should do it. That when we hear the words of Christ and we get the instruction from him, that we should do it. At the wedding in Canaan, Mary told the servants that when she was trying to help the host get some more wine, she said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Do it. Good advice from the mother of our Savior. Whatsoever he saith unto you, and by the way, I don't think she understood completely yet what Jesus was all about. I mean, this was his first miracle when he turned that water into wine, but she knew enough to tell the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, just do it. Don't ask questions. Don't try to understand it. I mean, you would see where they might think it's kind of strange. Hey, you know, go fill the water pots to the top. Why? They got water in them. Why should we fill them to the top? They didn't know that Jesus was going to turn the water into wine. She said, just whatever he says, just do it. In James 1, chapter 22, the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." When we hear the word of God, we ought to do it. James talks about it's like a guy going before a mirror. And if he goes into a mirror and he sees he's all messed up and he walks away without doing anything about it, he says, that's the same thing a person who hears the word of God and walks away. You deceive yourself. You may think you look all right, but the mirror tells you the truth. And if you ignore the word of God, you're going to think you're all right, but you're all messed up. And not completely, but you know what I mean, in the area that it's talking to. Now, researchers say that we only retain 10% of what we hear. 10%, Jeff, 10%. You know, so you know what that means? When Kim tells you, I'm talking to you, and it goes in one ear and out the other, she's right, 90% of the time. So that's what it means. 90% of the time, what goes in this ear comes right out this one, and we don't retain it. The Bible says we're going to give an account for every idle word that we speak. And in the same way, I think we're going to give an account for every word that we hear, especially the word of God, that we don't act upon. The Bible teaches us that the more we have, or the more we understand, or the more light that we have, or the more we hear, the more responsible we're going to be. I mean, to whom more is given, more is expected. And so as we hear more of the word of God, we need to do it. And as we do it, we're going to get the blessing and the growth that comes with it. And if we hear it and don't do it, what's going to happen is our heart's going to get hard. If we say no over and over again to the word of God, we're going to develop a callous and we're going to have hardness of heart. And so we need, when we ask God to show us something and teach us a lesson, to make sure that we're willing to listen and that we're willing to act on what he gives us. You know, people have said, well, the same sun shines on butter and dirt. It melts one and it makes the other hard, clay. And that's the same thing that happens to us when we hear the word of God. It will either melt us so God can form us and make our life what he wants us to be. That's if we have the attitude that we're going to do it. Or we're going to get hard where he'll have to take more drastic actions and get our attention in order to get us to obey. So the question for tonight is not to be or not to be. That's not the question. The question for tonight is to do or not to do. To do or not to do. I'm going to give you six things tonight, and I'm going to ask you that question about all of them. Are you going to do them or not? Am I going to do them or not? Six things. So here we go. Number one, you need to get on the rock. The rock that's talked about in these verses. And basically what it's saying is you need to get saved. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then you skip verse 17, you go down to verse 18, here's what it says. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, in my mind, Jesus is making it real clear. Are you going to do it or not? Are you going to believe me or not? The Bible tells us that we're a sinner, that the wages of sin is death, and that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin. He paid what we owe. He paid everything we owed. And the Bible says, if you want to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, we've heard it. Are we going to do it? I'm glad tonight that most of us here, if not all of us, have done it. And if you're here tonight and you haven't done it, you need to go ahead and make it 100%. You just need to go ahead and do it. You do it, you have life, abundant life, eternal life. You don't do it, you have death now and forever. Hell doesn't start just like heaven doesn't start when you die. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in hell right now because you're separated from God. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got the best part of heaven right now. You're with God. I mean, there's going to be other good things about heaven that we'll enjoy when we get there, but we've got the best thing right now in that we have a relationship with God. So, to do or not to do, that is the question. Are you going to believe? If you believe, you're not condemned. If you believe not, you're condemned already. It's a matter of what are we going to do. You see, God's already done everything he needs to do. He's done his part. He offers the gift of salvation to all. And he wants everybody to come. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the question is, will you come? Will you do what he said to do? To do or not to do? That is the question. So, number one, we need to get on the rock. Number two, we need to get our homes under lock. I'm going to try to make all my points tonight rhyme with the word rock. We need to get on the rock. And number two, we need to get our homes under lock. Now, there's many instructions in the Bible. And you'll say, Donis, give me, what does that mean? Just hang on, I'll tell you. Many instructions in the Bible about our homes. There's instructions in our homes about our marriages. There's instructions in our home, instructions in the Bible about our kids. I want to speak on just one aspect of the instructions that are given about our homes in the Bible. And that aspect is contained in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26, where the Bible says, "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." Now I want you to listen again to the first part of that verse. "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it." If you bring an abomination into your house, if you bring something into your house that's not supposed to be there, you're gonna be like it. You're gonna be like it. And so we need to get our homes under lock and watch what comes in. Now, we guard our homes against burglars. I mean, we put locks on the doors, and most of you, if not all of you, when you go to bed at night, you lock your door. Some of you may even have a burglar alarm. All right, you know, that when somebody tries to break in, it sounds an alarm and call somebody. We guard our homes against mice. I mean, if you have mice, you put mouse traps out. If you have mice, you call the exterminator. We guard our homes, and we won't let burglars in. We won't let mice in. We won't let roaches in. I mean, or ants. I mean, if the little creepy crawlers come into the house, you set out traps, and if the traps don't work, you take more drastic action. You call the termite man or the roach man, and you say, you got to stop these guys from coming in. We don't want those things in our house. We lock our house. We try to guard it against fire. I mean, we put up fire alarms so that if a fire is in the house, it's detected immediately so that we can get up and put it out. Put the fire out of the house. Wouldn't it be neat if we could put a screening device at each of our doors, sort of like they have at airports, metal detectors? Wouldn't it be neat if we could put a screening device at each of our doors so that when something tries to come into our house that shouldn't be there, this screening device would go off and say, buzz, 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 and then we would know that something's trying to get into the house that shouldn't be there, and we could go to the door, and who's ever trying to bring it in, we could say, nope, you can't bring this thing into the house. The house is under lock. You say, well, what kind of things are you talking about? Well, let me just give you some examples. I'm talking about the wrong kind of books and magazines. I mean, and maybe it's a book and magazine we don't realize is wrong. Maybe there's something in there that we don't even understand that's going to turn us against the Word of God and turn us against the teachings of the Word of God. Wouldn't it be neat if we had something at each door that when we tried to bring in something, a book or a magazine that was wrong, this thing would go, buzz, buzz, buzz. I'm going to keep you awake tonight if nothing else. Buzz, buzz, buzz. And we could go say, no, we're not bringing that in. We're not bringing that in. Same thing. If somebody tried to bring the wrong kind of music, huh? And they came to the door, and this thing would go, buzz, buzz, buzz. I'm thinking of Buzz Lightyear when I say this. Buzz, buzz, buzz. And sound an alarm that says, no, this is the wrong kind of music. This kind of music turns you against God. It doesn't build up your marriage. It doesn't build up your kids. And it doesn't have a place in the home. Or the wrong kind of language. Brother Leonard gave me a DVD of Reggie when he went to the school, to Teresa's class last year, and she interviewed him about his life, and it's about experience in the war. And at one time, he used the word heck, and he went like this. And said, oh, no, I know I'm in a Christian school, and I shouldn't say words like heck. And she had to assure him that, well, that's okay, Reggie, don't worry about it. But wouldn't it be neat that if somebody tried to come into the house that was going to use the wrong kind of language, we'd have this machine that would go, buzz, 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 and we would be aware and say, no, you can't use that kind of language. Or we had a machine that if somebody tried to come into the house with the wrong attitude, this machine would go off, buzz, buzz, buzz. Might be one of our kids, might be us. Okay, and we walk through this machine. We got a bad attitude. Something happened, and we know we shouldn't bring this attitude home, but we do anyway. We try to come home. We got the wrong attitude as we come through the door, and we know we shouldn't bring it in, but we start to come into the door, and this machine goes, buzz, buzz, buzz. Can't bring that attitude in. Or the wrong kind of training. The wrong kind of training, something that's going to teach our kids or ourselves that that something that God's word said is wrong is right. And I'm not talking about, you know, the training that you as parents or grandparents try to give your kids, but the training that sort of sneaks into the house via the TV or via the computer. And wouldn't it be neat if we had a machine that every time something came on TV that went against the word of God, this thing would go, buzz, buzz, buzz. I just sort of picture it in my mind. Mom's in the kitchen cooking dinner. The kids are watching TV, and you got this machine that every time somebody tries to teach the kids something that goes against the word of God, it goes off. Buzz, buzz, buzz. So the kids are in there watching TV, and Mom in the kitchen cooking. Buzz, buzz, buzz. She says, come in. And she comes into the den or the living room, wherever the TV is, and says, change the channel. Is teaching you something that's not right. So somebody flips the channel. She goes back into the kitchen. A few seconds later, buzz, buzz, buzz. Change the channel again. It's teaching you something that's against the word of God. She goes back to the kitchen. A few seconds later, buzz, buzz, buzz. She finally says, turn it off. It ain't teaching you nothing that goes along with the word of God. So wouldn't it be neat if we could have a device like that says, I'm going to put my house under lock. I'm going to get on the rock, and I'm going to put my house under lock, and I'm not going to let in it the things that go against this book. Now, we know what this book says, and there probably nobody's going to invent one of these machines that'll keep buzzing all the time. But the question is, are we going to do it or not? To do or not to do, that is the question. So, number one, get on the rock. Number two, put your house under lock. Number three, stay in the flock. Hebrews 10:25-27. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen to this next verse. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Again, the question is very clear in those verses. We hear the truth, but if we willfully sin after we hear the truth, we have decided we're not going to do it. And so the question is, to do or not to do, that is the question. You know, we need the church. Every Christian needs a church. Every Christian needs a church. Amen. Say, well, I can worship out in the woods. Yeah, you can, but you need the church. You need a church, and I'm going to give you three I's under this point. You need the church for the identification it provides. You need a church that says, hey, this is what we believe based on this book. This is the doctrines we're going to hold as true. This is what, when somebody asks you what you're going to believe, you can say, here's what my church believes. I belong to it because that's what I believe. And a church helps you identify those things that you believe. Church gives you instruction. We hear the Word of God in Sunday school. We hear the Word of God in preaching. We need to be taught the Word of God. We never get too old to learn from the Word of God. I mean, those of you that have been Christian for years and years and years, learn new things from the Word of God. I do. I learn new things from the Word of God. And then, number three, we need the inspiration that we get in this place. When we come here and we're down, we need to be lifted up. When we come here and we're discouraged, we need to be encouraged. When we come here and we want to quit, we need to come and hear somebody say, "Don't quit, keep on keeping on. It'll get better." And so we need those things from the church. So get on the rock, get your house under lock, stay in the flock. Number four, build a roadblock. Nehemiah built a wall for the protection of Jerusalem. So we as Christians need to build a wall or a roadblock around those that we love or around the ministries that we're in. And that roadblock is against Satan so that he can't destroy those we love or the ministries that we're in. And the roadblock I'm talking about is prayer. Is prayer. I want to remind you tonight, Satan is a whole lot smarter than we are. And he's been in this business a whole lot longer than we have. And he knows all the tricks of the trade. And he has demonic power at his disposal. The disciples came to Jesus one time, and they were trying to cast a demon out of a little boy. And they couldn't do it. And they came to Jesus, and they said, "Why can't?" And Jesus cast the demon out. And they said, "Why couldn't we do it?" He said, this kind cometh forth with nothing but prayer and fasting. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So prayer is the roadblock that we need to put up and around those that we're trying to protect from Satan. Prayer is the roadblock that we need to put up around the ministries that God has called us to. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." Again, in my mind, the question is very clear. The Bible says, "Ask and ye shall receive. Ask and it shall be given unto you." And it says, "You have not because you ask not." So the question is, are we going to do what the Word of God says? He says to ask, and I'll show you great and mighty things you knoweth not. Ask and I'll give to you. If you don't ask, you're not going to have. So, to do or not to do? That is the question. All right, I got to hurry. So, number one, get on the rock. Number two, put your home under lock. Number three, stay in the flock. Number four, build a roadblock. Number five, don't go into shock. Don't go into shock. Shock is defined as being alive but not being aware of those things around you. It's sort of like being a zombie. I mean, your heart's still beating and you're still breathing, but you're nothing else. Now, I want to remind you tonight, things will happen in our Christian lives. Things will happen. And God says, "Hey, I know everything that comes into your life. I mean, if I didn't send it there, I allowed it to come in," like he did with Job. He said, "There ain't nothing that comes into your life that I don't know about. Now, don't go into shock. Just keep trusting me." Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." So, look, we lose our job. Are we going to go into shock and say, "Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, now what am I going to do?" Or are we going to trust God? God said, "I'll provide every one of your needs according to my riches in Christ Jesus." And I'll tell you what, he's richer in Christ Jesus than we can imagine. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard those things that God has prepared for his people. Are we going to trust him, or are we going to go into shock? Our kids make a dumb mistake that they're going to have to live with for the rest of their life. Do we go into shock? Or do we trust God that he can bring light out of darkness, that he can bring a flower out of a dump, that he can take the messes that we make in our lives and turn them around and get glory from them. Other people disappoint you. Those people you put on a pedestal sort of fall off. Do you go into shock? Or do you realize that they're human beings and that, you know, they don't deserve to be on a pedestal in the first place? And do you just keep trusting God that he is in charge of the situation? He said, "I am the Lord, I change not. I took care of you yesterday, I'm going to take care of you today, and I will take care of you tomorrow." You trusted me yesterday, you're trusting me for today, trust me for tomorrow. And so the question is not to be or not to be, the question is to do or not to do. Are we going to trust God, or are we going to go into shock? So, number one, get on the rock. Number two, put your home under lock. Number three, stay in the flock. Number four, build a roadblock. Number five, don't go into shock. Number six, keep your eye on the clock. Now, I don't need to preach to some of you about this because you got your eye on the clock, but I'm not talking about that clock. I think we're living in the last days. In fact, we may be in the last of the last days. Jesus says, "I will come again." And he said, "What I say unto these, I say unto all, watch, watch." We have a blessed hope. We're going to heaven. Amen. We're going to heaven. We need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And as we look up and we remember that blessed hope that we're going to heaven, it's a source of strength, a source of comfort, and a source of confidence. Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a wise man." A wise man. So let's just decide. When God tells us something, when Jesus tells us something, we're just going to do it. I mean, we're going to take the instruction that Mary gave those servants. Whatever he saith unto you, just do it. I mean, what she was implying, and I like reading that story, she said, don't ask any questions. Don't try to understand it. Just whatever he says, do it. Do it. And by the way, we need to do it now. Now. I read a story the other day that really spoke to my heart. About the tragedy of dew, D-E-W. You know, that the water that's on the grass in the morning and on the flowers in the morning. And I saw the title, Tragedy of the Dew. And I thought to myself, how is there tragedy with dew? I mean, when you get up in the morning and the sun shines off of it, it's pretty. How can there be tragedy associated with dew? So I read the story, and the story goes like this. The sun shines on the lakes and the ponds and draws water into the air. That's a process called evaporation. At a certain point in the cool of the evening, the process stops, and that moisture that's in the air falls back to the earth, and that process is called condensation. Jenna and Courtney probably know a lot more about this than I do. I'm just using these big words to try to impress you tonight. But anyhow, so the sun shines on the lakes, and the water goes up into the air, evaporation. And at some point, when it cools down, it falls back to the earth, condensation. And so here's what the tragedy of the dew is. The water on the leaves and the grass, the dew, is water that started to heaven too late. It didn't make it because it got up so far, but then because it started so late in the cool of the evening, it came back to earth. It's a tragedy to start for heaven too late. It's a tragedy to start our lives living them for God too late. We need to do it now. We need to do it today. The only time we got is today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't say, well, hey, preacher, I agree with you what you say, and tomorrow when God tells me something to do, I'm going to do it. No, I don't do that. Say, when God tells me to do something today, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do exactly what his mother said. Whatsoever he saith unto you, just do it. And do it now. Now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time that we've been able to spend in your word. And I pray that you would take my feeble attempt, and Holy Spirit, you would put it into our hearts and our minds. And we would do exactly what Mary told the servants to do. Whatever you tell us, either in our personal reading of this book or something that comes across from our Sunday school teacher or something that comes across a pulpit as we hear a sermon. Father, when you tell us to do something and you give us a principle by which to order our life, I pray that we would be the kind of people that would just do it. Thank you again for letting us be here tonight. Give us safety as we go to our homes. Thank you for loving us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.